We were talking last week a little bit about, you know, what causes what appears to be confusion. And I don't know about you, but I thought there are a couple of things that explain that to me. You know, and it has something to do with post-traumatic stress syndrome, you know. Can you imagine what they've been going through? And I love this story here because we have the fact that the women went to the tomb and they encountered the angel who told them that Jesus is not here, he is resurrected. And then a little bit later than that, we have this direct contact with Mary Magdalene in the garden, which I think is wonderful. It tells us about how our God forgives and heals and restores and makes new. And he could have chose anybody then. He chose somebody that, you know, the power of his healing grace had restored and made whole. And then, of course, we have the fact that Peter and John ran because they didn't believe the gals, mm-hmm. right? They ran there to check out the tomb, and they looked inside, and obviously the angel wasn't still there, but they looked in and saw the grave cloth there, and they acknowledged the fact that, you know, obviously he wasn't there, but they did not see him right at that moment. And then, of course, we have the Road to Emmaus story, which is a fabulous one. Somebody that had followed Jesus all the time encounters him on the road and didn't recognize him at all. And I think there's a lot of possibilities here. I like the idea of a resurrected body. Do you like that? I really like that one. If any of you have messed up bodies, you know, like I do, you know, can you imagine a perfected body? I just really groove on that idea, you know, yes. that we'll all have it. I saw this wonderful statue somebody had made of a very elderly woman stepping through the veil, and she comes right into Jesus' presence as this beautiful young woman. It's an exciting thing. I thought, wow, I love that. It just kind of lets you know about, you know, we're not going to be in the Lord's presence without a perfected body. But here's Jesus is in their midst, and he reveals them to them in a special way by sharing with them Scripture, Holy Scripture. It burned within their hearts as they heard him tell about how he fulfilled the Scriptures and the prophecies about himself. And then we have the moment at the breaking of the bread, and they say, oh, it's the Lord. And then he's gone, you know. And I keep thinking, whoa, wait a second, don't leave me now. You know, this is the moment. And now today, you know, we find out that his apostles are scared to death. You know, they're probably absolutely certain that they're going to come for them next. They did not want to leave any evidence, you know, that of anybody that followed Jesus. And so they're in this room, and they've locked the door. I can picture with the chair underneath the knob, you know. I bet you they may have had all kinds of things before that door. And then Jesus, boom, he appears in their midst. And he starts again with shalom, peace be with you. And I'm thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Peace be with you. Jesus popped in and he has appeared in our midst, and we're supposed to be at peace. But only the Spirit of God can give us peace that passes understanding. That's what has to be that kind of peace that he gave to them right there. And then he immediately revealed to them the proof of that it was he. You know, he showed them his hands, you know, and they had this amazing moment. And then you have what I think is an ordination, you know, says that Jesus breathed on them, you know, and he invoked the Holy Spirit upon them, everybody but one. You feel like that you're sometimes that one. Yeah. You know, you're left out of the, everybody else gets it, you know, and you missed it. You know, I like to tell my story about when we were seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think everybody seemed to get it except Carol and me, you know. We left there thinking, okay, that was kind of cool. All these other people got this wonderful experience, and we're walking out of there and said, oh, guess we just didn't meet the requirements. It was a feeling, you know, you have of being the one that's opted out, you know, left out because you weren't worthy. That's how we often feel sometimes. We're not worthy, you know. And so we find out that he tells them that whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained. It's a really powerful gift that he gave to them. And it's a gift that God has given to his church coming forth all this time. So that's why I think it maybe is an ordination ceremony. I wonder if Thomas got finally, you know, when he finally had his breakthrough moment, did he get included? I don't know. I often thought, you know, the second born son, you know, that was me, right? That's Thomas, right? That's kind of me. And so what happens, of course, and it says 8 days later, you know, the moment, the breakthrough moment for Thomas, he was there, Jesus, suddenly he's in their midst again, and he already knows about Thomas, and he invites him to come over and touch his hands and see the side, and he says, my Lord and my God. Now, I don't know about you, if I had to choose any words out of all of Scripture to be able to say at that moment, he nailed it. He knew exactly who Jesus was, and he worshiped him, and he accepted him fully. And Jesus says to them that, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. However, he says, but not yet. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Doesn't tell us right here, tells us in other ways in the Scripture. For the Holy Spirit to come upon you in power and in Pentecost. Now, the really fun thing about this, we have another reading right here, which is after Pentecost in the Acts of the Apostles. This great reading about the apostles. You remember the same people that were locked in a room, scared to death, are standing up to all the leadership there, and they're performing signs and wonders in the name of Jesus. And they're standing up to they throw them in jail. The angel lets them out. You know, they don't let that bother them at all. They're out there again. Boy, these are different kind of people than the people that were locked in that room. They're filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, and they're able to do things in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit coming through them and into the people that they're doing ministry to. It's an exciting time. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes somebody nails it. Anybody here from Missouri? You're from Missouri? What are they known as? What's
the Show Me State?
The Show Me State. I love that, don't you? You know, they just, you know, show me. I'm not going to believe it unless you show me. You know, I can kind of think about that. And I thought, wow, Thomas, you know, he said, show me. Now, I want to just let you think about this. For those people that ask God to show them, he will always do it. I want you to think about that. If you need for God to show you his reality, if you ask him to reveal himself and to show you, he will not judge you. He will not exclude you. He will always do it. Many years ago, I was in Schenectady, New York. You know, if you've got to have a curse on you, that you might want to have it in Schenectady, New York. Anyway, I was there in the evening for a Bible study. And And, you know, and we were there for a time of teaching. Father Bill Hyo was the guy that was there. And it was a wonderful experience. But I remember him telling this story. It was long before I went to seminary. He said this. He said, there is one prayer that Jesus always answers, and that's the one. If you ask him to reveal himself to you. Do you know he knows, however, the thoughts and intentions of your heart. So you can't fool him. You know, if you really in your heart, deeply within your heart, desire for God to reveal himself to you in his power, he will always do that. As long as you have eyes that see, ears that hear, and have your heart open to God revealing himself to you. He desires that all might know him. So we have this wonderful story. I love it. And then it says, it just takes this moment and says, you know, blessed are those who believe but have not seen or touched. That's us. We're the blessed ones, right? Jesus tells, blessed are we who believe but have not seen or touched. We might have had some other manifestation of the Spirit, but we are blessed in a special way that we have responded to God speaking to our hearts as he prepared us to receive the one good news of Jesus Christ. And it's a wonderful thing. Now, unlike any other part of the Bible that I can think of right now, John tells you that he wrote the gospel. He organized it in under the anointing of the Holy Spirit for a purpose. And it says, the disciples saw Jesus do many other miracles in addition to the ones recorded in this book. These are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Now, if you have somebody that says to you, you know, I've tried to read the Bible, you know, always start in the book of Numbers. Well, maybe not exactly, but they always say, well, I'm going to start at the beginning in Genesis, right? And they probably don't get beyond the book of Numbers, you know? And if they always ask you for your wise counsel, where should I begin? I always tell them, begin in the book that was written so that they may know the Gospel of St. John. It's a perfect place for them to start. The Holy Spirit, in a special way, will touch their hearts because God anointed it for that purpose. I always encourage people to think about that because I don't know about you. Have you ever had anybody ask you where to start in reading the Bible? None of you have had that happen? Rick, yeah, some of you have had. You know, if not, you probably will sometime in the future. I recommend highly that this is where you start. Because it was written and anointed for a specific purpose, to lead people to accept the wonderful gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. So anyway, today we celebrate the continuation of Easter. What a wonderful moment. You know, it's very interesting that in that beginning place where Mary Magdalene met with Jesus, she said, tell my disciples to go before me to Galilee and wait, and I'll meet them there, right? And where are they instead? They're locked up in a room hiding, yeah, right? So they had to have a breakthrough moment. I think the breathing of the Holy Spirit was part of that. So let's pray. Lord our God, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for Thomas. We thank you, Lord, that he expressed his unbelief, but you heard his heart. He desired to have you reveal and prove to him who you are, and it changed everything. And so we ask you, Lord God, to touch each person here. If there's anybody here, Lord, that needs to have that kind of proof, we pray that you would come to them in power, reveal yourself in a special way, a manifestation of divine glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.